We're going to call to order the Public Services Committee meeting today, Tuesday, April 3rd, 2018, at 1:30 p.m. I'd like to welcome everyone. Thanks for coming out. The first item up is the approval of the minutes from the March 5th, 2018 meeting.
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
The question is on the motion, second to approve all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, no. The ayes have it. Minutes passed. Second item on the agenda is the public comments. Is there anyone here who would like to make a comment or statement? If so, please approach the podium. Hearing none, we'll move on to item number three, which is the budget review fiscal year 2019, Public Services Department operating expenditures, Public Services Department capital and maintenance expenditures. Mr. DeMora.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Good afternoon. If you'll flip to the Public Services tab in your budget, I'll go over the highlights in the budget, and myself, Mr. Peel, here for any questions that you have. Overall, Justice Microphone, overall, we're proposing a $518,000 increase, or about 4% for next year. And if you look at the very top line item, you'll see that $400,000 of that is in salaries. We are proposing a few positions, five new positions for next year, which, in my opinion, Mr. Peel's opinion, are sorely needed to keep up with demand and calls for service placed upon the Public Services Department. In support of that, as you go down through the line items, you'll see the fringes that support the employees in the Public Services Department, and state retirement match, that's that 1% increase, that's $130,000 right there. It's $530,000 for next year. I mentioned the five new positions. We have also some vehicles that we have a heavy move towards vehicle replacement in public services for next year, and that includes 10 scows, two dump trucks, one packer, one side loader, which is being replaced with two fully automated loaders, and a partridge and a pear tree. But that is significant. It's $3.2 million in capital equipment replacements for next year. If you'll flip to the capital fund summary, it's page 15. Here houses the Public Services Department capital request for next year. There are two. One involves water quality at Shem Creek for $300,000. And the largest request, in fact, it's the largest capital request in town for this proposed budget, is for the Public Services Department Operations Center. That's the $30 million right below it. And everything you see below that's in the current year, a lot of smaller projects. Those are the highlights, and me and Mr. Peel are ready if you have any questions.
Thank you, Mr. DeMora. Notice that the in the proposed expenditures, we're looking at salaries are increasing 7%. Is that right?
That's right. I neglected to say that the 4% on average wage increase is also in there along with the five positions.
Okay, I got you.
And that makes the 7%.
Okay. And then the mandatory retirement has increased 14%?
That's right, $130,000.
Okay. The repair and refinishing of the floors at Alhambra Hall, that's gone up 11%. Are these being bid out?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
They are?
Mm-hmm.
And so we're sanding and restoring the floors once a year?
We're not really sanding. We're more or less putting a light buff on it to rough it up, and then it's recoated.
Gotcha.
To give it back a darker look that the interior decorator wanted to have many years ago. You'll see that the heavy activity is on the dance floor, and that's where we usually get the wear. So we're trying to make the place rentable and usable, and to stay in quality condition. We believe it's once a year needs to be done.
Right. Okay. Thank you, Joe. Under the contractual services, repair, maintenance, roads and drainage, repairs, buildings, repair, office equipment, membership and dues all appear to have stayed the same. Is that a fair statement?
That's correct. Now, can you read those one more time, please?
Yes, sir. It is the contractual services, repair, maintenance, roads and drainage, repairs to buildings, repairs, office equipment, and membership and dues.
The contractual services did go up a little bit.
It did.
If we're talking about line item 3300.
And how much did it go?
Well, it's about $50,000.
Okay. The traveling and training, was it in the budget for 2018? And if so, what was the increase, if any?
You're looking at about $5,000 more on travel. And setting up another person to City Works to get training on the asset database system that we use.
Gotcha.
So it went up about $5,000.
Okay. And what about the, you got minor equipment, computers and so forth. Was there any change or adds to that as well? Or will there be with 5 new employees?
Yes, with laptops.
Laptops. And then in looking at the revenue and expenditures of capital assets, it looks like it's increased by 109%.
Where's that one at?
Revenue, capital assets. I'm not following, sir. My apology. Which line item are you referring to?
It is the capital asset fund, revenue and expenditures.
What was it? Probably the equipment.
This must be the capital fund.
Yes.
Is there a page that you're looking at?
I can get it for you.
Page 20?
Yep. It's page, well, I'm looking at page 1.
Oh, okay. Page 20
also. Under the summary of capital assets.
Right, but this is you're correct. This is town-wide. Technology is town-wide. Radio replacement is mostly police and fire, slightly on the public services side. Rollout carts, obviously public services. And there is that, I mentioned earlier that I think it was $3.5 million for rolling stock replacement. That is included in that 5.3 number that you're referring to, mostly public services.
Okay, I'm looking at with page 1 under total revenue. Capital improvement plan projects gone from fiscal year 18 to requested budgeted year 2019 from 14 million to 30 million, 300,000. Page 1.
Here. I think that's what it's looking at.
Yes, sir. The current year, we have the $10 million for the SNE farm replacement and then some other things. The $30 million is the Public Services Operations Center.
Operations Center.
Yep.
And yesterday, the bids and purchases, we agreed for a dollar amount for the design only.
Correct, sir.
Right.
Yeah.
And in that design...
master plan, sir.
The master plan. Okay.
Yep.
In that design of the master plan... we need a scope of what it's going to entail.
Yes, sir.
Do we have that?
Have that.
We have that?
We have that.
And so how large of a facility is this?
Well, we're looking at,
Well,
we're looking at designing of a 6-mile facility, which is on both sides of the road of Sweetgrass Basket Parkway. So you're probably, if I'm estimating correctly, I think there's roughly 12 acres there. And then if you're going up to Lehman Road, you've got a 5.32 acres up there. So we're in the master planning, or we're just trying to think outside the box right now. What do we want to see this facility look like?
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a scope of services that we want them to provide for us to get to that point. I cannot tell you the magnitude of it. I can just say that this is the three different properties that we're looking at to try to determine what are our best options to utilize them to be efficient for our service.
Where are those funds coming from? $30 million.
That's going to be a general obligation bond.
Okay, the bond.
Yep.
And if we don't use the full amount, mm-hmm. where do those funds then go?
It'll be up to the discretion of council. We will write into the bond ordinance flexibility.
Okay.
And we'll probably mention things like could go towards a road project or a fire station improvement or something like that. Not that it will, but that if we do come in under budget, then we can come back to you and we have the authority at that point to move it to any one of those projects that you deem appropriate.
Great, great. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I appreciate that. Committee, do you have anything?
Yeah, I just want to go over it because I did with the other departments. First of all, thank you, everyone in public service. You do a great job. On the membership and dues, I asked every department head to just tell us what the membership is for and what do we see back from it, mostly. So, Mr. Peel, if you can just run that through. It's a minor budget item. I just want to know what we're paying for.
Okay. All right, membership and dues, you're looking at $2,660 for the entire public service department. Myself, I attend the American Public Works. That's the APWA. It's the organization that we're trying to be accredited by. So I attend their meetings, and also I go to their convention. Andy Weiss is becoming certified in the management program from APWA. Also that we're trying to get a staff engineer. Also, Emily is already certified through that program. Okay. And then I have a town engineer, Ken Rye, who's going to have continued education and memberships for his license and his credits for becoming a PE. He is a PE. National Safety Council. Ken is also my safety officer for our public works facility, so I would like him to be as up on as much safety information he possibly can be. My foreman is Jamie. He is with the Professional Grounds Mason Association. He is responsible for all our medians, our Waterfront Park, our Shim Creek Park. He runs the crews to make sure our facilities is the best condition they possibly can be. That's not turf. That's just ornamentals part of it. Also to include arboriculture, that's part of landscape maintenance. Jamie and a few of my folks are into that also. Irrigation Association. With irrigation now, it's changing from a two-wire system to a one-wire system. Now it's becoming very computer savvy, so they need to keep up on the changing needs of irrigation system throughout. For example, we can control our irrigation system now off our cell phone by certain areas. Same thing you'll find about the recreation department. We can control with the clocks, the lights coming on and off at Center Street now from a cell phone. Solid waste management is, we call it SWSWANA. It's basically the Solid Waste Association of North America. I want to have Dave Behrens, one of my foremen of solid waste business, to be up on the latest trends and become more efficient and how to run our operation properly. So they were members of that. I have another one basically for the green industry, and that's for landscaping. We do a lot with landscaping, so I have several folks that are involved with that. And then I have a communication, a new employee, Jennifer Knight, is my communication and marketing person. That is going to be a heavy used person in the near future, fully automated, going into effect. SRF at Snee Farm, Old Village Stormwater Project, the Hopcall study, stormwater study, and everything else that we do right now. So I believe that these membership and dues are critical.
Actually, after hearing the third department head to describe it, and the best one to describe it, you sure you don't need more money on that line?
easy.
Thank you.
Ready?
I'm good.
Looks good to me. Do you need a motion?
Yes, recommending the budget to Budget Committee, please.
Oh, I have one more question, sorry. Just one more question on attrition. Do you see an attrition problem with the employees at their current rates, or is it the nature of it, or?
Attrition.
It's all in the supervision, isn't it, Jody?
That's a tough one. Okay. I don't know how to answer that one right now.
Okay, we'd like to, I personally would like to know that over time. It doesn't have to be today. Just how we're doing at retaining employees, and is it something that a little tweak on the salary could help? Maybe not. Just so I'm throwing it out there on the record, so at some point we come back and look at it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
You have a motion? Anybody have a motion?
I make a motion that we recommend the budget, that this budget be passed along for the committee to approve.
That's, we're going to recommend to council the approval?
Right.
Okay. I'll second a recommendation to full council that we accept this budget for the Public Services Department.
The question's on the motion, second, to approve Public Services Department operating capital and maintenance expenditures. Send it to council for approval. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The motion passes.
Thank you.
Moving on to item number four, the review of Public Services Department organizational chart and equipment. Mr. Weiss, is that going to be you?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Good afternoon. Per Mr. Owen's request, I'm going to give you a brief overview of the Public Service Department organization and its equipment. Public Service Department currently has 142 positions, and we're broken into one section and five divisions. There's about 472 pieces of equipment that are tracked by first vehicle maintenance or the purchasing department. And this is mostly anything with an engine or that's mechanical. It doesn't include, you know, small hand tools and things like that. So, but it will cover everything from chainsaws to garbage trucks and everything in between. The administrative section consists of 10 people, and the functions that take place within the administrative section basically are things that support the entire department. Right here, you get a lot of the leadership and management of the division and its efforts. We've got our HR-type functions, as well as our accounting and purchasing functions, customer service functions, and communications and marketing functions. And this is also where our engineers, two engineers, reside. So they provide engineering support across the town or across the department. The facilities division consists of 17 people, and it's broken into two sections, basically being the facilities maintenance section and then the custodial maintenance section. So this division's responsible for cleaning or fixing all town facilities or overseeing contracts associated with that. Some of the contracts that they oversee are the HVAC contract, pest control, fire extinguisher maintenance, and town hall cleaning. And they also are responsible for a large portion of the CMP maintenance program for facilities. The grounds division consists of 32 positions. It's broken into four sections that include the grounds maintenance section, the ball field maintenance section, special project section, and turf maintenance section. This division also is generally the lead for all public service department support to town special events, which there's 47 on the calendar year 18 schedule that we will end up supporting. They also execute the right-of-way maintenance contract for everything along Highway 17 and other areas where we have contractors doing right-of-way maintenance. This is the first division that has a large, you know, population of equipment, and it ranges everything from lawn mowers to pickup trucks, all the chainsaws and everything in between. The infrastructure division is consists of 27 positions, and it's broken into three sections and one team. However, this division task organizes probably more than others in order to get whatever their task is accomplished that given day. They're responsible for maintaining and repairing all town infrastructure, such as signs, sidewalks, curbs, potholes, the stormwater infrastructure. They do street sweeping, and they also do right-of-way maintenance. And this entity is usually the lead for all of our storm efforts, you know, before, during, and after the storms that we have. They also have a significant equipment footprint with everything from pickups to excavators, backhoes, dump trucks, vector trucks, and street sweepers, etc. Stormwater division consists of eight positions. Seven of these are full-time and one is part-time, and they manage the town's MS4 permit. They conduct new stormwater infrastructure inspections. They do NPDES inspections, and they're also responsible for the town's water quality efforts, such as the Wando River TMDL and the Shem Creek 9-element plan. One thing to note, though, although this is our smallest division, they have a lot of responsibilities with the stormwater front, but it's also important to note that stormwater is greater than the Public Service Department. It's really a town-wide effort. There's a lot of stormwater support that takes place in the planning department, finance, and other places throughout the town. The last division is the Waste Management Division. It consists of 48 positions, and it's broken into two sections. You have the vegetative and non-vegetative trash section, and then the municipal solid waste, or MSW, section. They're responsible for the weekly collection operations across town, as well as the town's e-waste recycling efforts, and then the transfer yard operations out at 6 Mile. The vegetative and non-vegetative trash section is manned for 4 crews and 3 knuckle booms. A crew consists of a claw machine and 2 scows. And then the knuckle booms are essentially a single truck with a loader on the back that, you know, can load. They get the job done, but they're not as efficient because you've got to go and put down the outriggers, you know, pick things up, you know, put the truck back together and move on to the next. We're manned for 4 crews and 3 knuckle booms, but based off of personnel or equipment available to any given day, we try to get 4 crews out on occasion. You know, we'll be getting 3 out right now. And then the last section I'll talk about is the municipal solid waste section. It's manned for 11 crews, which consist of 4 2-man garbage trucks, 7 3-man garbage trucks, and then 1 small 1-man garbage truck that we bought within the last couple years. We try to put out 10 trucks daily, but again, on the average, we probably put out about 8 based off of equipment and personnel available. That concludes my presentation if there's no questions.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
After what we experienced this year, was there any discussion, and maybe this was more of a budget question, but it's relevant either way, didn't I hear someone talk about the possibility of adding essentially a plow to the front of certain trucks so that could be added on, but it wouldn't cost too much to put that in inventory?
Yes, ma'am. With the budget, we budgeted for... There's a schedule that says, you know, how long our equipment is supposed to last, and both of the town's dump trucks are supposed to be replaced this year. So the intent is to buy those trucks and the plow attachment and a sand or salt spreading attachment for each of those trucks, so we have the capability should we need it in the future.
So if we were to have a repeat of this past January, which was so unusual for us, what would you say would be the capacity of those 2 vehicles to help keep the roads open a lot better?
We ran what we had pretty much 24/7, and, you know, we'd have that ability again. We'd have the ability to plow. I mean, where we ran into most of our trouble was shaded areas that iced over and didn't melt. So if we got an early enough start on it, we could be knocking some of that snow off the road before it ices. And I think we probably could have had a lot of the slick spots taken care of sooner rather than later, but we had to really... I was out there. We had to try to, you know, scrape them with backhoes, and it just didn't work that well. But, I mean, if you stay on top of it from the beginning, whether with the plows or salt or sand, it will make it easier to kind of close up the incident or the storm sooner.
So you think this will give you the capacity to do a...
Yes, ma'am, I think it will. I mean, the challenge is there's some SCDOT roads, there's town roads, and it's working together to get it all done. And, you know, we'll have to coordinate our efforts with theirs. There were areas during the storm that we knew SCDOT was going to come through and salt, so we didn't plow it. And then after they salted, we couldn't plow it, or we'd kind of... you know, make their efforts null and void. So I think it will provide us it's going to double our capability at least, but I think it will help us out significantly.
Thank you.
Andy, I appreciate the presentation. Did a great job. Also, can you speak to the last hurricane we did and what outside workforce we asked for, or whether we received any, and how much we collected?
If I'm not mistaken, we collected about 30,000 cubic yards of debris, give or take, and we didn't request any outside support, nor did we get any. We handled it all in-house, and it took us about the same time as it took for Matthew to get the debris off the streets. It was about 100. We removed about the same amount the last one as we did for Matthew in-house.
Irma and Matthew.
Yeah,
Irma was the most recent one. Matthew was the one prior.
Right. Well, you guys did an outstanding job. I only asked the question for our new council members. I don't think that they were aware of that. So just wanted to pass that on. You guys did a phenomenal job.
Sir, it took us about 25 days of collection operations to clear both storms.
Well, I know that I came to town hall on a number of occasions, and you guys were here. Were you here 24/7? Because it seemed like it.
Yes, sir. We were sleeping in the office. A lot of people were.
Right.
I know I shouldn't admit this, but I think I got special treatment. I campaigned and canvassed and happened to come to Jody Peel's house not knowing it was his house. And next thing I know, the very next week, Dunes West was just clean as a whistle. Thank you, Jody.
Was that an in-kind contribution?
I think it was.
It just happened to fall.
Unfortunately, somebody gets to be first and somebody has to be last.
Right. Well, his exact words when I got to the door, Dunes West is probably not happy with me. And I said, no, we understand it takes time. Thank you.
Well, sir.
Mr. Weiss, where does this tracking of your calls for service come in on the budget, or is that handled in the government side? Maybe Eric might know.
Yeah. Go ahead.
We utilize CityWorks, and if I'm not mistaken, that falls under the administrative section's budget, probably IT's. But we utilize CityWorks for our work orders and service requests. But we're not the only department that utilizes it. Planning department's moving towards that. I believe there's an effort for transportation to take that on at some point as well. So it supports multiple functions within the town.
Okay, for Eric then on CityWorks, is that spread out amongst every agency? Because it seems to be all over the place in the budget. Are they're training for it is in their portion of the budget, and then the others in general government? How does it work?
As best we can, we try to break it out amongst the departments that utilize it. It's been great for us, by the way. I mean, it is sort of like the body cameras and the police had them, how it really kind of protected our people more than anything else. Somebody had a story about something, we could say, well, the video says otherwise. CityWorks is almost the same, because we might get an email that says, you know, call two or three times and no one ever called me back, or no one responded, and well, we have exactly what happened, when it happened, when we call back, when we responded. So I know it's a little bit off your question, but it's been well worth the investment, and takes training, but it's been good for us.
What is that investment townwide?
Oh gosh, I don't know.
Marcy, do you remember?
The software annually is $65,000, and then the training is at department levels as needed.
So, but it's in their budget for training?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. Any other questions?
Appreciate it, Andy. Are you doing the next one, too?
No, sir. I'll be followed by Emily.
Okay, thank you. Thanks again. The next item on the agenda is the review of ongoing stormwater maintenance. A and B, preparation for rain events, coordination with Charleston County regarding drainage canals and inlet structures.
Hi, Mr. Owens, before we get started, I just want to make sure if y'all have never met Emily, this is Emily Rabby. And Emily is here today because Hillary is sunning on the beach in the Bahamas somewhere, drinking mojitos, enjoying herself. So Emily's here to step into shoes, and she has some big shoes to fill. So we're...
Can we call Hillary and put her on conference call?
Knowing Hillary, she probably has her phone.
This is one of the few opportunities where we actually are unable to talk to Hillary. Oh. This is a rare, really rare opportunity for her.
I don't like to hear that.
We don't take vacation. This is a sweatshop.
That's right.
Let me tell her this is a sweatshop.
We look forward to your presentation.
Thank you. Well, I'm here today to talk about some of our operations and our asset-related programs that help us prepare the town's drainage systems for storms. The stormwater work is conducted in partnership with the help of multiple departments, as Andy said, and three work groups from PSD. The Stormwater Division has our information and does the inspections, helps with budget and planning. The Engineering Section, of course, does our contracted work, and the Infrastructure Division does the in-house work. So the programs I'm going to review are the daily maintenance, our comprehensive maintenance program, the Stormwater Improvements Program, storm preparations, coordination with other agencies, and system ownership. Sorry. So the daily maintenance program is our routine work, and it involves the in-house operations. Work is shared between our engineering sections, stormwater, and the infrastructure divisions. The work comes from our service requests, like we talked about with CityWorks. The calls that come from the public need to be investigated. Is it our infrastructure? Does it need work? Is it an emergency? Our routine operations involve inspections and cleanings of pipe and canals. The repairs to the infrastructure and other work orders also address structural issues and failures. So what does this work look like? The service requests from the public related to our stormwater infrastructure last year, we had 707 calls. So the town's comprehensive maintenance program and the stormwater improvement program tackle large system projects that help keep our main system structurally functional. The stormwater manages the budget and the long-range planning. For our comprehensive maintenance program, where we rehabilitate, repair, and replace our infrastructure, engineering manages to the contracted pipe and structure projects, bridge and culvert inspections, and some other things on occasion. Stormwater manages the work for the open systems, such as swales, street ditches, canals, and some town-owned ponds. The Stormwater Studies and Capital Improvement Program, we use a team effort between both the engineering and stormwater staff. So this is a picture of Live Oak Drive at Magwood during Irma. You can see there's a good bit of water, but it's surprisingly shallow, maybe a few inches. When preparing for a storm, we have two types of activities that keep our infrastructure ready. We do our routine operations for the infrastructure division, and the information is handed off to the stormwater department for program requirements and reporting. These operations include the storm drain cleaning program, where we react to calls when a resident reports an issue, and we try to be proactive, which we've started a whole system cleaning program where we go in, no matter what the boxes look like, and clean all the pipes and boxes of all debris. For the canal inspection and cleaning program, we are authorized for a crew of 3 to clean the ditches and the canals. Our level of service is set by our participation in FEMA's community rating system, the CRS program. This requires us to do a minimum of annual inspection work to address the items that we find, and we exceed that inspection program for many of our systems. We also have a hotspot program that requires that we go to key choke points in our drainage system after rain events of a half inch and greater and remove debris that we find. We have a flap gate inspection program where we inspect flap gates prior to a high tide cycle to check for debris and make sure they're functioning. And the pump station in the Old Village receives twice a week inspections by the stormwater crew and an annual inspection by a contractor who pulls and checks the pumps annually. For large predicted storms such as hurricanes, we move over to our storm operations. So we have larger mitigation planning and programs that are outlined in the town's hazard mitigation program. For our operations, all divisions use the 120-hour countdown plans. For stormwater, we inspect our critical infrastructure. We open key systems like draining lakes and removing grates where possible. We purchase or rent special equipment like pumps and generators, and we stage resources in response zones. In 2018, we've been involved in several flood mitigation efforts. In May, we will host the Flood Ready Expo for our residents. We've participated in regional preparedness pilot project with the National Alliance for Public Safety GIS Foundation, which is the NAPSIG pilot. And we have participated, or we will be participating in a Sea Grant resiliency pilot project that will look at one of our neighborhoods for multiple vulnerabilities, such as sea level rise, storm surge, and rainfall flooding. So we have to coordinate with other entities often because not all infrastructure in the town is owned by the town. So a system can be owned by the town, by SCDOT, the county, HOAs, and private people and owners. So it's difficult to display all of the information for our entire drainage network. So this map shows our main canals and our system outfalls. So whether that's ditches, pipes, et cetera, just where the system ends or the dots. And if you'll see in the legend, sometimes things are denoted county/town and then sometimes town/county. So what that means is that there's dual ownership, and if there's a preponderance of the system that's in the unincorporated county, then it would be labeled county town, and if it's mostly in the town, then it's labeled the other way. In some cases, there are main systems with no easements, and they're considered privately owned and privately maintained. This rule also applies to our pipe system. So if the street is a DOT right-of-way, then they own the drains in the street generally, but drains in the yard might be in a town easement. So the system could go private, town, county, state, town, all kinds of things depending on which part of the property it's on. And we try and continually review who owns what, and we're working to continue to update GIS with this data. We can also acquire new systems. When we have new development projects come in, our stormwater staff carefully inspects all that infrastructure. Annexations, we always try and check the easement documents to see what we're getting, and if it comes directly into the town or if the easements have been granted directly to the county, which can complicate things. And sometimes requests are made for the town to take over a system by granting an easement. Usually that's for a specific project. So with multiple owners, how do we manage this? How do we maintain this? And what happens when there's a critical need? Generally, we have very good staff-level communication with our counterparts via phone, email, and their online work order systems, and we try and get before them face-to-face when we can. We report issues to sister agencies and help them with prioritization. They do the same with us, and we try and get as much information flowing back and forth as we can. And we can take emergency action if public safety and lives may be impacted. So what are system owners obligated to do to maintain their systems? For our canal maintenance program, the town and county both participate in the CRS program. The program requires us to minimally inspect our systems and perform what we need to do. Street ditches are not included in the CRS program. DOT only has a few canals, and the county does assist them with some of their ditches and canals, but there are very few, and they do not have a routine program to go through and inspect or maintain. With the restoration projects with our CMP program, we go through a cycle of study in year one, repair in year two. We've gone through Shimwood 2, Pine Hollow, Whipple Road is under construction this year, and we've done the street ditches along Candlewood. For routine work, the closed systems of pipes and boxes, we focus on the town-owned infrastructure, and we have provided emergency relief work on DOT systems. The county does not have, well, they have very, very few closed pipe systems within the town. Issues on DOT systems are sent to them via email or via online reporting. We respond to reports during rain events and clean systems as they're reported because we know we have to protect the homes and keep the roadways open. With our new pipe cleaning program, thanks to the new staff and the second truck that we got last year, we've cleaned 16 full neighborhood systems in the Shim Creek watershed. That's over 300 inlets and 300 pipes. And we expect to expand this program townwide in the next few years. So while there are a few mandated requirements for maintenance, there is the expectation that we maintain our infrastructure. Stormwater infrastructure within the town is owned and operated by all sorts of different entities, and everyone needs to do their part in order to make sure we have a complete functioning system. Are there any questions?
Committee?
All right. Jody?
Yeah, I do have a question regarding preventative maintenance. How often is it performed, and do we continually have a preventative maintenance plan in place as things occur? Do we go back through the system and clean it again and make repairs? How does the town manage it?
Not until recently, when council agreed to give us our second Vactor trucks. We've never had two Vactor trucks in operation. And with the budget approval of last year, we were able to get that second Vactor truck to include the personnel. And I was just showing Mr. DeMore, we have a sheet here showing what subdivisions here recently have been cleaned since that second vacuum truck has come on board.
That's awesome.
It's a system that the systems have never been cleaned from since I've been employed by the town, unless we had a problem and maybe cleaned just one run. But I can rattle off such as Baytree, Cooper Estates, The Groves, Hermitage, Creekside, Parish Place, Heritage, Marin Lakes, Shenwood 2, Baytree, Chadbury Village, Chelsea Park, Harbor Gate, North Point. We're presently in Brickyard. These are systems have been, the total subdivision has been system, our infrastructure, drainage infrastructure has been cleaned. So we know that it's in working condition. Can we get back there in a year? No, I think it's probably a 5-year cycle.
generally we try and inspect on a five-year cycle. Sometimes we're finding these pipes need to be cleaned more frequently, and sometimes that 5 years might be pretty soon.
But also at the same time, we're doing the asset management program where we're doing the $1.5 million worth of repair work. At that time, when they go in there and do the slip lining or the TVing, they are actually cleaning at that time too. So there are subdivisions that are not even on my list that have been addressed. I can name a few. Walkendall is one. Point Pleasant is another. Wando East and Hickory Shadows. They have been cleaned, and also they've been lined. So that's above and beyond our list that I just shared with you now. So we are moving forward. I know right now our budget for the CMP for repair, we've about spent all that money. You will probably be coming in May to the Finance Committee. We have a spillway structure at East Crossing that failed during Irma, or maybe it's Matthew. FEMA's was willing to reimburse us. So we've been coming to y'all. We're estimating about a $240,000 repair project on that spillway. So we're trying to save that money to at least dress that spillway structure we know that's failed during that storm so we can get reimbursed from FEMA. Once we spend that $240,000, $250,000, whatever it comes back in, that we believe it's estimated that, our funds are gone for the rest of the year. We've already repaired everything that we can possibly repair or have available funds for us to do any more work.
Okay.
I have one question. So we know about the much-discussed new water and very clean pipes that are going on Coleman Boulevard. And one of the things we hear about is that that's going to really take a lot of pressure off of maybe drainage problems that were happening to either side of the road. Can you address anything about that? Will that make your job easier? Will it change things much? Or what impact does that?
It's going to help areas with drainage. It's mainly the sheet flow. I mean, that's a tough one. That's going to be a broad answer question, too. But, you know, anything that actually came down Coleman and actually turned in, let's say, on Simmons Street or turned in on Vincent, you know, now it's going to be captured and taken down to the outfall. Whereas before, it may have turned in and kept on going. And maybe, for example, if it went down to Vincent, it may have tied into up by Pearl, which actually ties into the Shimwood Pond, which could have caused flooding problems down there. So hopefully it's going to help take some of the pressure off of some of the problems in the older sections that have a little flooding issues at this time.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Peel, on that same project, was the original design adapted for any specific private property? Like the concept of putting up higher buildings anywhere, does the system accommodate that in any way?
I can't answer that one. That's a transportation question. I wasn't much into the design of Coleman Boulevard.
So, but does it serve the properties off the actual street? Or is it just for the actual street drainage? It captures the asphalt of the street. Does it capture the adjoining properties?
Yeah. What was happening was a lot of that water was moving into, for a long time, that Moultrie Middle School area was a mess. And so there are those areas and some others around it where, probably because the road wasn't performing as far as its ability to carry drainage, it was really impacting the surrounding areas. So I think it's predominantly a street problem,
okay,
more than, you know, serving other areas.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And we should mention you have $1.5 million in your budget, too, on the CMP side for pipe repair and maintenance and all that. So I didn't mention that earlier.
Revolving fund?
I'm going to take care of that one. The Snead Farm.
We'll move to item C, Snead Farm State Revolving Fund update. Jody?
The Snead Farm State Revolving Fund Drainage Project, as Mr. Owen just mentioned, I'm going to be providing you with an update today because the project is coming to the final stages before construction. And we'll need some committee and slash council actions pretty soon. Our present schedule, easement acquisition for the installation of pipe and BMTs is ongoing. We've had many discussions with Snead Farm, HOA, Ventura Villas, the golf course. There's a developer involved. They seemed all on board. We know that we've got a draft signed by the golf course. The HOA is meeting tonight. Ventura Villas has already met, and they said that they would sign. We don't have the paper in hand yet, but they said they will sign. I just want to bring your attention. There's two homeowners. Right now there's one that's on Planner's Curve who is right now at this time is refusing to sign an easement. But we can still do this project without utilizing the existing drainage structure that goes between the two properties. However, these are the two on Planner's Curve that need it the most. So right now he's being demanding and requesting specific things, payment, attorney fees, so forth, so on. But we can still do the project if he is not willing to come on board. We're still working with him, but hopefully he'll come on board and we can help him and his next-door neighbor. Tree removal plan is in review. That's going to be a big one. Y'all are going to receive numerous calls because in order to do this project, there's going to be several or many trees that are going to have to be removed. Anywhere between pines, gums, crepe myrtles, palm trees, hackberries, oak trees. I don't want to scare you, but I saw the plan, and there's about 107 trees that need to remove. But that's a variety of trees. And if I counted correctly, there's about 14 oak trees. At least two of them, the biggest I saw, was about 31, 32 inches in caliber size. So those were the two biggest. However, it's in the planning department right now, and I've asked them to tell you, if we had to mitigate this, what would our mitigation be? So we're still working on that. The bid process for bids construction are due. They're already on the streets for the construction are due back April the 18th, 2018. The successful bidder recommendations would go to the Bids and Purchase Committee in May. The loan closing process would also go to the Finance Committee in May and June. The loan closing for June the 30th is only assumes that the successful bidder, we have a successful bidder, and all assumes the project costs are acceptable. Construction for this project is estimated to be at 720 days. The estimated cost right now is $9 million. Recently, we were advised by South Carolina DHEC, the loan agency, that they were making program changes and would have two scheduling options for us. Options one, if the loan closes by June the 30th, 2018, we use the physical year rate of 1.4 for the interest rate for the entire loan amount. Option two, if loan closes after June the 30th, 2018, physical year 2018 rate would be used, and that's 1.6% on the first $4 million. Then it would go to 2.1% and applies for the remaining project cost. We are working to meet the option one. Some of the challenges that we're going to see is it's a large project. It's widespread community impacts. It's going to have construction in many residents' yards, backyards, golf course, and in roadways. It's going to have a heavy community action plan or a plan of how we're going to approach this and where we're going next. So that community is involved. Jennifer, our new communications officer, is going to be heavily involved with that. The loan process is a new process and a requirement for the town. Normally, SRF's projects, if you're not familiar, state revolving funds, are usually dealing with sewer and water. This is probably one of the first ones that's ever done with stormwater and water quality. And the reason why we're able to do this and get that SRF loan is because most of the project has to hit, I think it's a 25 or 40% of it has to be applied to water quality. And we're meeting that match. This project has a bit of everything that we presently do. Two major flood improvement components will be addressed. Asset management rehab replacement for failure infrastructure of metal pipe. I want you to listen to these numbers for a second. 6,432 linear feet will be replaced. 11,255 linear feet will be rehabbed. So if you take those numbers of linear foot and put it into the math, that's 3.35 miles of pipe in the Sneed Farm area that it's going to be rehabbed or replaced. Water quality improvements for water flowing to the Hopcaw Creek and the Hallbeck Creek. That's critical also because in the Hallbeck Creek, we're under a TMDL for the Wando River. This project will require digging across Whipple Road to install larger pipes. and to the and also the town's existing pond on Whipple Road will need to be enlarged. So that's going to be a big inconvenience when that has to happen. I'm assuming works will all be done at night, but when we have to cross Whipple Road to install the pipes, that's going to be a big one. So I just want to share that information in case y'all were asked. I just want to give you an update to where we are with the state revolving fund for SNE Farm.
That's great information, Mr. Beal. I appreciate that. It's going to be a big project, but there's a lot of benefits after it's all said and done. Did you say how many miles? 3.5 miles?
3.35.
So that's tremendous. One of the questions I've got are, is there any possibilities for directional drilling the areas that are not cooperating as far as easements go and or trees are concerned? Is there an ability to utilize directional drilling as opposed to open trench? I know it's a cost factor.
Well, if we're talking about directional drilling through an area where you have no easement, I'm not sure that would be a legal question whether we could do that or not. I can't answer that one. Now, if you're talking about directional boring under trees, yes, we could look at that option. That is a very expensive one. Mm-hmm. But I was just trying to, I know the phone's going to ring off the hook the first time the tree comes down. We've had meetings, 2 years worth of meetings with the HOA, and you get the same 35 people to show up. And everybody knows that there's something going to happen in the SNE Farm area, but it really doesn't, they're not really affected until that first tree on their side yard comes down, and that's when it'll come out the woodwork.
The only benefit I see that directional drilling would have from a legal standpoint is that you won't be trenching up somebody's yard. That's really the only benefit. It would be more costly, obviously.
The particular case that's coming to mind with the grand tree, the pipe is so shallow and it's so large and wide.
That it would kill the roots?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So we are going trenchless where possible with lining and different methods, but as far as boring under at least that one particular grand tree, it's not possible in this instance. And it's on an easement. It was planted in the 70s, possibly. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's tough. It's a tough one. Committee? Anything? Well, I appreciate the information, Jody, and Mr. DeMora, Mr. Wise, Emily, thank you so much. I would just like to ask the Public Services Department members that are here to stand. We'd like to recognize you for all the work that you do, if you don't mind. And from our council and this committee in particular, we are grateful for all that you do, and we appreciate it every day. Thank you very much. Mr. DeMora, do we have any more business in this committee in particular?
No, sir.
Mr.
No, sir.
Beagle, committee members, good.
We're doing
hearing nothing, we stand adjourned.